From Malvern Free Presbyterian Church, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the international radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This edition of the program comes to you from the Free Presbyterian Church in Malvern, Pennsylvania. During the next several programs, Dr. Mark Allison, minister of the Malvern Church, will be bringing a special series of messages. Here to introduce the series is Dr. Allison.
This is Mark Allison, and I'd like to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. This week we've been letting the Bible speak on the topic of the Word of God itself. We usually think of the Word of God as teaching us about Christ, about creation, about the coming judgment, the coming return of Christ, and it deals with all kinds of different doctrines. But the Word of God also deals with itself. And if you cannot trust what it says about itself, then you cannot trust what it says concerning other doctrines. This book is said to be the Word of God. And as we were looking on the previous broadcast, we noted that there are different characteristics about this book that are not the same as any other book you might have. This is a sovereign word. This word will come to pass. What it says will happen. Secondly, we noted this is a spiritual word. It's a word that was given by the Spirit of God. It is said to be the sword of the Spirit. It is said to be a means by which we are born again, a saving word. Why? Because it is the word of the living God. Today I want us to look at what this word does for the believer. And we're going to look at a passage of scripture in John chapter 17. Now in John 17, our Lord is praying to the Father. Today, if you are wondering what kind of intercession Christ is making on your behalf, read this 17th chapter, and you'll feel some of the warmth and the love and the compassion that Christ has for His people. You'll understand that you will not fall away if you're truly saved today, because Christ is interceding on your behalf. In the midst of this intercession, you have a prayer of Christ for His people. In verse 17, He says this concerning His people and the Word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. God's word is sovereign. It is a sovereign word. God's word is spiritual. It came by the Holy Spirit. It has spiritual life. God's word is a saving word. It is that seed that goes into the heart that produces this glorious salvation in the life. But for those who have this salvation, Christ has prayed that they would be sanctified by the word. You see, it is God's will that we be conformed to the image of Christ. You may say, well, how do I know what that image is? How do I know what God wants me to be like? Well, He has revealed that in His Word. And you have here Christ praying that those who are His people, that they would be sanctified by the truth, and that that truth is God's Word. Now, what does the word sanctify mean? We think of sanctifying in the realm of holiness, and we do that because oftentimes they come from the same root in the Greek. The word sanctify or holy means to be set apart. In a spiritual sense, it's set apart from this world, set apart from the sinfulness of this world, unto God. It's not merely that you turn away from certain sins, but you are actually turning to Christ. And so someone who is sanctified has turned from the wickedness of this life, turned even from his own selfishness, and has come and embraced Christ, come and submitted himself to Christ, come and set himself apart for use by Christ. That is a sanctified person. And God is trying to sanctify us in our minds as well as in our actions, in our motives, that they be pure, as well as in our paths that we walk, as well as in the actions and the speech that we make in the world. Our Lord said in his prayer to the Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Here is a prayer that will be answered. Christ's prayers are always answered. And if you are one of God's people, that work of sanctification began when you were regenerated, when you were given life, when you were born from above, when God created you a new man. That began this whole process of sanctification. Now, when we speak of sanctification in these terms, we're speaking about that work whereby we become more and more conformed to the image of Christ, where we die to sin and live under righteousness. This is a work that does not leave us sinlessly perfect in this life. The work of making us sinlessly perfect is something that only transpires by God's effort when we leave this life, either through death and our soul is made perfect, or when Christ returns and our soul and body are changed at his coming. Some confuse sanctification with justification. Well, justification is an act of God's free grace. It's not an ongoing work. It is an act whereby he forgives, he pardons, he remits all of our sins, and then he accepts us as righteous in sight only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. The righteousness that makes us pleasing to God is something given to us in heaven. It is imputed to us. It is considered ours. So that in our justification, all of our sins have been removed and we are as righteous as Christ is in the sight of God. But in our sanctification, that is a work of God that is ongoing. It is a work whereby he enables us to die more and more to sin and to live under righteousness. But on this side of heaven, this side, as it were, of death and going to heaven, you and I will never reach perfection, even though there is power to overcome sin. And so our Lord prayed for his disciples, not only that God would keep them, not only that he would be the one who provided for them as they walked here below. He also prayed that his disciples would be holy, that they would be set apart. Not set apart necessarily to religion, not set apart necessarily to different ceremonies that have been made up by man or traditions of men, but he desired that they would be set apart according to the truth as revealed in God's Word. Now, God's Word does have an ethic that we are to keep as God's people. There are things that are right and things that are wrong. I know that many of these things that are said to be wrong go against what the world is saying is wrong. The world says there's no such thing as evil when it comes to immorality, that you can live a man with a man or a woman with a woman, what they would call homosexuality, and that that's okay. But the Bible says that's sin. The Bible says that that's unnatural. The Bible says that it's under the judgment of God. You can see that in Romans chapter 1. So if that particular sin is a sin that you have participated in the past, the only way you can be right with God is to turn from that sin and to come and take Christ as Lord and Savior and begin to live your life according to the Word of God. Now this Word will sanctify you. It'll give you power to overcome that sin. There are other types of immorality that are also equally accepted in the world. The world does not think anything about living in immorality before marriage. Yet the Bible speaks of that as fornication. It speaks of that as sin and wickedness. The apostle wrote, marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Whoremongers, those that are fornicators, those that are committing immorality, God will judge them. Oftentimes in the world thinks nothing of marriage partners cheating on another partners, cheating on their spouse, committing adultery. And yet the Bible says that's evil, that's wrong, that's wicked. What I'm saying is, God is going to sanctify us according to his word. And it's the word of God that tells us that sodomy is wrong. It's the word of God that tells us premarital sex or immorality is wrong. It is the word of God that tells us adultery is wrong. And it's the Word of God that tells us how a husband and a wife are to live together and how they're to treat one another in a positive sense. We are to be set apart by the Word of God. It is to control all of our actions and our thinking and our speech. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, it speaks there concerning the work of Christ on the cross and what he was doing for his bride, the Church of Christ. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. The Word of God will cleanse your life. It'll wash away those things that are displeasing to God if you will let it have full sway in your heart and soul. Peter said something similar to this when he said in 1 Peter chapter 2, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Desire the sincere milk of the Word. That's not a statement about what they did. This is a command as to what they should do. He is saying, put aside these things that are evil, what God calls malice, what God calls guile and hypocrisy and envy and evil speaking. Put them away. And then as newborn babes that are hungry and they want milk, he says, as newborn babes, then the command comes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Are you saved? Have you known the mercy and grace and forgiveness of God? Peter says, if that is your lot, then put away those things that are hindering your spiritual growth. Those things that he labels here as malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings. Put them away. And then in order that you might grow just like a babe would grow, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Desire this book. Come and devour it. Come and meditate upon it. Come and take it into your life. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, it says that the Lord humbled thee, speaking of the nation. The Lord humbled Israel and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. As a believer, the only way that we can live is to live our lives saturating them with the Word of God, feeding upon that Word, being nourished by that Word, being made holy by that Word. I would encourage you to come and lay hold of the book, and may the book lay hold of you. If we can be of help to you in the things of Christ, please call us at 610-993-3170 or write to us at our email address, malvernfpc@yahoo.com.